Won't you please pray with me? Lord, in celebrating the birth of the Christ child, we ask your Spirit to come upon us now as we find grace in your presence, mercy in your good news of deliverance to us, wisdom in your word to all people, and faithfulness in our salvation in all of the world. Amen. On this last Sunday in 2021, this year, yes, we might want to forget, and on this first Sunday after Christmas, it seems just natural to begin at the beginning, doesn't it? If you're like myself, we've heard the Christmas story. We've heard it probably many times. And we connect with those angels that bring messages to us, the shepherds, the flocks by night, the lambs, the donkeys, the cattle low-lying by the manger. And yes, we do remember Jesus' birth was God's way of bringing humanity to the world. Jesus brought humanity in the flesh and in word and in deed. We are here today, you and I, to witness a faithful response to Jesus' birth. We've had some beautiful music before we began our worship today, and we will continue on in our worship in praising God for all of the glory that we have, grace and glory that we have received. We celebrated just 2 days ago, not too long ago, the coming of Christ into the world. The songs we're singing, it was a song that I remember that says not to condemn the world, but to bring everlasting life. Those are the songs that we're singing, bringing Christ into our world. In a way, we could say it all ended with that miraculous birth, just as it begins today with new life and new beginnings. Yes, in our celebrating and ending on Christmas Day, our churches begin anew. We celebrate this Christmastide what God wanted to do. Bring us a body incarnate. And oh yes, this year we could celebrate together a bit more than last year, but cautiously, maybe just a bit more. Christmas tradition in our sight and lives includes eating all of our favorite holiday foods. There might be some special things that you have just at Christmas time. I know my family does. Yes, of course, having some eggnog or some drinks together, opening or seeing gorgeous things, presents that other people receive and maybe things that they give to us or persons that are with us. We sing favorite songs, the Yuletide carols, and the contemporary favorites that we like also. We smell those kitchen and hearth smells. They're so inclusive of the season, such as chestnuts roasting on an open fire, or the sugar cookies that come from the oven that are ready to frost, the fresh cut and the decorated pines that are about us. Love and hugs are perhaps shared differently this year. Maybe they're elbow bumps. Maybe they're just holding up your hand to greet someone. Or not so much a handshake, but at least acknowledgement through our masks. But we think of these, don't we, as pleasures, what we call people pleasures. And they're people pleasers, too. They're body beautifications, aren't they? They're things that we enjoy this time of the year. One of the many things that Luke, the physician writer, tries to do in our text today to help us remember and enjoy and maybe explore what's happening after the Christ child is born, Luke is trying to acquaint us with the birth narratives of Jesus, with that of the history and the identification with and of Israel at that particular time, the Jewish tradition and its history. It's identifying each within their context in time and within God's purpose and fulfillment for each. In other words, Luke is giving us a kind of a case study of the beginnings, the happenings in Israel's history as it relates to the divine revelation. It's in the birth study and the young life of Christ. Yes, and it's all part of God's revelation. Indeed, the first two chapters of our gospel are teamed as what we call the infancy and childhood narratives. They're of Jesus' birth and early years. Luke describes these in storytelling-type commentary, at its best, I think. Today's text is a short story, isn't it? It's about the boyhood and the background of Jesus' intimate contact with his parents and those he is with in the temple. Only in Luke do we hear these. We find these wonderful early childhood stories of Jesus as a babe, as a youngster in the temple. And amazing circumstances where those who are around him are also amazed in his understanding or his understandings of Jewish law and especially culture and the custom of the day. There's not much of Jesus' young life in the Gospels after this until he becomes a teenager, 12 or a 13-year-old, and he's teaching in the temple. Luke was defining Jesus' ministry as his allegiance to his father, and Jesus states this. He was in his father's house. And it all is part of the realm of God. Aren't we here today, you and I? And aren't we here every Sunday in worship to better understand God's fulfillment in God's promises for us? Are we here as those who are eager, the honest, the brave, the faithful? Each and every time we step into this particular beautiful church and into our sanctuary, aren't we sharing our own stories with one another? Luke's readings today and those previous to today's readings include case studies or what we call personal analysis of those named. And we heard about Simeon, we heard about Anna just previous to this text. And then we hear today about Jesus, we hear about Mary and about Joseph as parents. Those who are all confided in the law of the day. There were certainly others who are unnamed as well. We are told of the Jewish tradition of bringing the firstborn male to the temple, Jesus' presentation in the synagogue according to the law of the Moses, Torah, or the Torah as being the law of the Lord. Luke gives details, like physicians do. They like to write out and give you exact details. Like physicians do, abiding parents, Mary and Joseph were in their religious Jewish life and law. They presented their firstborn son, circumcised on the eighth day, and then naming him Jesus according to the angel Gabriel. There were sacrifices, things such as turtle doves, such as pigeons, all as their baby is blessed by the Lord. We can only imagine, you and I, their excitement, their anticipation, that of Joseph and Mary in bringing into the temple their new child. Some time ago, I went to a memorial service out at Holy Wisdom Monastery, not far from here in Middleton. It was for a person I admired, not only as a professional, but as a person of God. She grew in knowledge, and she became a psychotherapist. She was an author. She was a psychotherapist and psychologist for many years here in the Madison area. She was my psychologist for a time when I was working in a hospital laboratory nearby here. I was a chemist in the laboratory before I went into ministry in my second career. And at the time, my mother had been here in Madison with complicated health issues. And eventually, she was cared for, and she died at my home. It was right after Christmas, about this time of the year, and I went to see my psychologist after my pastor's recommendation to gain confidence and courage in myself, in who I was as a person after the death of a loved one. She helped me become an individual with gifts and with talents to share with others. Yes, I certainly was a case study for her, I am sure. Dr. Curry, and I use this name, it's not her real name, but she tried different things in her therapy with me, like testing interesting things like testing my dreams for personal growth. She told me that the healing power of our own stories is for the teller as well as for the listener. I've remembered that for a long, long time now. She told me that as we grow in wisdom, telling our own story breaks the power of shame. One of the books that she wrote was entitled The Heart Moves in a Circular Direction. It's back in 2007 when she wrote this book, and it was about her schizophrenic mother and her life with her mother from the mid-50s until 1993. This case study that we hear by Luke of Jesus and by his and also about his and by his parents and others who were righteous and who were devout by the law, such as Simeon, such as Anna, such as Samuel, who we heard earlier, and also other prophets. If we understand it in this perspective, it is an intensive personal analysis. It is instructive, and it's individually descriptive as we hear it today. Luke's information that he gives us about the family of Jesus, it is seemingly pastoral in nature as it informs us of parental care by Jesus' parents for their special child. We hear it in the Old Testament lesson as Samuel receives a robe from Hannah in devotion to his being a bearer of God's word. Samuel, as well as Jesus, grew both in stature and in favor with the Lord. It was a time, along with others in the temple, who had prophetic influence upon these young people. It reminds me of the saying by parents, especially in today's world. I'm sure you've heard of this. As we raise our children at home, as we raise them in schools, along with our teachers, along with other friends, and people in the neighborhood, our friends, and as we bring them to church, and they are in Sunday school and come to worship with our families together, it takes a village to raise a child. What do these case studies of growing in wisdom tell us about God's purpose for us? Aren't these people of God in our text just like we are in the portfolio of God's beloved? They, Jesus, his parents, and others were guided by the Holy Spirit to recognize who the Christ child was for them. And so are we. Is that not why we come to church and gather to sing and to pray and to study God's word to us? As we worship and talk and even argue our point of view with one another, as we are augmented, as we are guided by the Holy Spirit. When we are together in worship, we open our hearts to God. We listen, and then we sing and praise God. We pray some more, and sometimes we pray even more. And we see this Christ child revealed in us again and again in new ways that we've not seen ever before. God's purpose for us is to be filled with the Holy Spirit in worship, at the communion table when we are together on Communion Sunday, in our daily living, to be guided to find Christ in our lives. It is so that we may be a part of our church life, our community life, and spiritual life in sharing our stories with others of our joys, our sorrows, our concerns. Not for shame, but for healing, for supporting one another that we might, like Jesus, grow and become strong, filled with wisdom, and have the favor of God upon us. Let it be so. Thanks be to God. Amen.